Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
The Travelers Broadcasting Service.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here at the state capitol, Connecticut is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents a visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montavani and the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Proud to be with you all. I'm Morgan Cunningham with the fourth installment of the broadcaster at 100. We're going to be focusing on WTIC 1080 News. I want everybody to go back in time. We started broadcasting in 1925. We always had a commitment to being local, being about community, being about news. We had announcers that did the work. But it was really in the 1960s when the WTIC news team developed into what we would recognize it as today. It came as there was significant competition with other radio stations, not just in Hartford, not just in Connecticut, but I'm talking about nationally. Where all kinds of radio stations, it didn't matter the format, whether you were more of a full-service station like WTIC was, or if you were a top 40 rock and roll station, a country station, these stations had news teams. And everybody wanted to have an exclusive. And everybody wanted to be first to break the story. In the 1960s, that's also when you had stations like WCBS and WINS in New York. They all went all news all the time. There were serious news wars that happened, and that's the era when WTIC really developed its knack for local newscasts, the way we would know them and recognize them today. Rather than just play back old newsreels from the decades, what I wanted to do was bring back some of our friends from more recent years and more further back who could shed some insight on what it was like covering news for WTIC, and more importantly, what some of these major stories we covered meant to Connecticut at that time, and what we can learn from it today historically. Somebody who's excellent for the topic for this first news special is Bryant Thomas, former morning news anchor. Bryant and I first met in 2022 at a radio reunion party. I saw the name tag. I said, this is a guy that I've heard in air checks. And you know what? I've got this anniversary series coming up, and I want to pick his brain and see if he wants to come on the show. Well, just talking with him a little bit and saying, hi, Bryant, I respect your work. I now have your job all these years later at WTIC doing morning news and Face Connecticut and all this other work at the station. I'd love to talk with you about what it was like when you were doing morning news on WTIC. So he starts telling me about all of the stories that he covered, and it clicked in my mind. I said, this is somebody we need on for the anniversary special, because he doesn't just remember the stories that he covered and said, yeah, I did this and I did that. He remembers specific quotes. He remembers specific visuals. He remembers where he was when he broke these stories. He remembers it all and is able to add context to these major stories that shaped Connecticut. The other thing that you need to know about Bryant before we start chatting with him is that he lives in New Hampshire, folks. Yes. And he came all the way from New Hampshire to Farmington to sit down and share his recollections with me. Oh, and friends, how could I forget that Bryant is the longest-running news anchor for Bob Steele? That's just cool.
That's right. And I did not even realize it at the time. And then I started looking at the calendar and said, gee, you know, nobody else served the master as long as I did. And so here it is. So I worked with him part-time and full-time from 77 to 96.
You grew up in Connecticut, didn't you?
Correct, Bristol.
Grew up in Bristol, so you must have been aware of Bob Steele as a child.
My parents had it on all the time. And the joke that I make with my wife, in all the years that I listened to Bob Steele, I never heard him do the Deep River bit when he was doing temperatures or anything about it.
Okay.
I never heard it until 10 years into my tenure at TIC when my wife mentioned it one day. I said, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Never heard it. Imagine that.
All that time, and you never heard it.
Never heard him do it.
Okay, we pause the news special to hear Bob do his Deep River thing. I'm not going to try to do it. We're just going to let Bob do it. This from his birthday list.
It's the 86th for Frank J. Mondani of Deep River. I just can't mention Deep River without that, and I'm sorry if it doesn't sound like Luciano Pavarotti or something. He isn't a bass, though, is he? Where does he play? Shortstop or whatever.
Bryant is smiling. I knew you'd like that, my friend. Bryant, tell me what it is that got you interested in radio, specifically radio news. Eventually, you'd be a writer and a teacher. But take me back to those earliest days of you getting into radio and radio news. Was it Bob and his show that inspired you or something else?
It was a childhood fascination. I went to a high school, it might have been a high school career day with Dick Kilmore. You might remember him. He was a congressman from the 6th District, or candidate, and he was also the general manager of WBIS in Bristol, where I went to school. And he and Tom Monahan from Channel 30, you might remember, came to our career day at Bristol Central High School. And I was just fascinated as to what this was. And I said, I want to be in radio when I grow up. And as a matter of fact, my high school yearbook says, a career in radio.
Well, you fulfilled that.
Yeah, I did.
After shadowing at stations like WBIS, Bryant, you ended up at WDRC in Hartford when you really got into the news.
Late 60s and early 70s. I worked there two times and three times at WPOP. And then I went to WATR in Waterbury. Eventually, I started at TIC.
In those days, I'm told it was very competitive. From station to station, but particularly at WTIC, there were high expectations of staff who worked here in that era, certainly before. I had heard a story about a very long application that people had to fill out in demo reels and pronunciation tests, writing tests. Did that ever apply to you?
No, because there was a fellow who issued that test at TIC. I auditioned at TIC years ago when I first went to work in Waterbury. I took that cockamamie test, and it was just full of things that would trip you up. Things that I don't think were really fair in terms of what you would be doing day after day as a news person. If you were going to teach history, if you're going to do something different from being a news person, you might need to know those things. And I've never got a call back, needless to say, but that was when I was young. The next time I went into TIC, I was a little more prepped, and that's when things began to gel.
When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Bryant about some specific news memories that he has, and we'll talk about how they have impacted Connecticut. However, before we continue, I want to acknowledge some requests that I've received, people who want to hear some of the old jingles and elements that we used to use on WTIC. I've just been waiting for the right moment to play some of these things, but there are a number of items I want to show off, and we'll do so throughout the hour as we chat with Bryant. So let's go back to June 1978.
WTIC, someplace special.
Although loyal listeners would remember that there were names of cities and towns from all across Connecticut sung into that very same jingle.
Simsbury is really someplace special.
It was a different time for sure, and in my opinion, the production was top-notch.
This is WTIC and studio transmitter link WDE 771, Hartford, Connecticut. Both are operated by the 1080 Corporation, with studios located at One Financial Plaza, Hartford, Connecticut. WTIC, with 50,000 watts, is at 1080 on your dial.
Some of that information has definitely changed, but the spirit has not. Former morning news anchor Bryant Thomas will be back with me, Morgan Cunningham, in a moment.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is Mike Allen, WTIC traffic reporter and pilot. You're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, and we're celebrating the broadcaster at 100. Happy birthday, WTIC.
Some people are special, the folks we work with every day.
Our neighbors and relations.
Special way.
The postman
and the preacher, the kindergarten teacher, they're special with WTIC.
We're just right for each other.
We're just right for each other.
Don't worry, I'll sprinkle some more things like that in as we continue through this hour, the fourth edition of the Broadcaster at 100. With Bryant Thomas, former morning news anchor, who's going to be with us recalling Connecticut news stories that had an impact then and have impacted Connecticut one way or another still to this day. Bryant, correct me if I'm wrong, but during the blizzard of 1978, you were working still at WATR part-time at WTIC. Were you at WTIC when the blizzard of 78 happened?
I was working at ATR in Waterbury at the time, and all I know is I didn't get home for 5 days.
5 days?
5 days. We lived in a motel on South Main Street in Waterbury at the Howard Johnson's, and the station paid for all of it. There were days that I worked 18 hours because there was nobody else. It was a tough time. You know, Ella Grasso was governor. She issued the do not drive order, and a lot of people felt that was over the top, but we never got that kind of snow before in so short a period of time. In retrospect, she did the right thing, even though critics are always going to be around, no matter what the decision is. It's something you have to live with in politics. It was a long time before we all got back to normal. There was so much snow and so much incapacity throughout state government. It took a while, but the DOT in the state of Connecticut still is unexcelled in terms of snow removal. We've got that dry pavement policy. Still have it, always will, and that speaks for itself. All you got to do is go across the line into New York and see how bad things are after they have a storm and compare it to what is only a couple of miles away.
Ella Grasso, she had gotten a lot of praise for her response to the blizzard of 78. There was the time she flew in the helicopter to see, and people had written in the snow, "Help Ella." Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes. And it wasn't just that story. If you remember the Windsor-Locks tornado from 1979, I think, that was her hometown. And there was a story about Ella Grasso approaching a postman who delivered her mail at her house, and he was injured in the tornado. She walked up to him and caressed his face. And that was the side of Ella Grasso that a lot of people did not understand. She was as rough and tumble as they claim in politics, but she had this tremendous human side to her that few people in the public saw. But I think that it spoke volumes about how she cared for this state.
I heard that, like you had just mentioned, that she was rough at times during press conferences, dealing with the media. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Alan Sagal went, who worked in this radio station along with me in the early 80s, had an interview with her once. And she walked in from some sort of a groundbreaking, and she had a shovel in her hand from the groundbreaking. And Alan had already set up the microphone and the tape recorder in her office. And she walked in and she said to him, "This, Mr. Sagal, is what I have for you." And she scooped up the shovel as if to say, "I'm going to bury you with this dirt," or worse. So she could dish it out. There was never a doubt about that.
You know, swears and things like that.
Yeah, she used the King's English freely. Let's put it that way.
How did the state react when she had fallen ill and couldn't go on anymore? Because she initially said that she was going to continue her duties, that she was going to remain in office, receive treatment for her cancer, but she ended up having to step down anyway.
Yeah, and I think the story that I heard was that she had had discharge, bloody discharge, for a number of months and did nothing about it until it became nearly uncontrollable. And by then, it had metastasized, and there was nothing they could do except palliative treatment. So she might have put on the best face that she could have, but she knew early on that it was over.
What was it like to cover that?
I remember stopping at the Capitol on the way to work one morning because she laid in state in the Capitol Rotunda. And I went to work early that morning on my way to the Gold Building. And I was all alone. There was nobody else there. I walked up to the casket, said a prayer, and I left. And that was the last time I had any contact with Ella Grasso. And I think the fact that she was the first female governor in her own right, save Dixie Lee Ray out in Washington State, who took over for someone else, she was the first governor elected in her own right as a female in this country. That spoke volumes about what Connecticut voters thought of her.
She had been involved in Connecticut politics before as well. She was in the 6th Congressional District.
She was a multiple 6th Congressional District term representative. She was Secretary of State, and she had a lot of background in the state of Connecticut on how things operated, and more importantly, how they operated politically.
Bryant, you know, she loved WTIC, and here's proof from February 10th, 1975, our 50th anniversary luncheon broadcast.
And welcome once again to the Dick Bertel Show. That music that you hear in the background is being performed by the First Company Governor's Foot Guard Band. And the reason they're playing it is because our 50th anniversary birthday cake just came in. Governor Grasso, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
You know what a pleasure it is for me to be here, because all of my life has been part of the history of WTIC. And I feel, as does every citizen of our state, a sense of pleasure and pride and great expectation for a wonderful future.
Thank you so much for being a part of our anniversary celebration today. Governor Grasso, who just happened to step by the microphone as we went on the air, because our birthday cake is now being cut. Dessert is going to be served in just a moment.
A tie to TIC, she won over Bob Steele's son.
Right, and even though Robert Jr., when he ran, they separated the two as much as they could. And I think it just wasn't his time in 1976. We had just gone through Watergate, Nixon, and it was going to be very hard for any Republican to win in Connecticut in 1976. And that's what happened. Even though he had been critical, voters were not in the mood to send a lot of Republicans back to office.
Not to mention Republican Thomas Meskel wasn't too popular in Connecticut. It would have been hard to replace him as a Republican.
He was a piece of work. During the ice storm in 1973, he was in Vermont skiing while we had tens and hundreds of thousands of people without power throughout the state. And he took enormous flack for that. In fact, the signs outside the Capitol was, "He skis while we freeze." That's when it became apparent that governors have this obligation to hold the hand of the public in times of crisis, that they can't be fair weather governors all the time, that they need to be governors all the time. And Meskel learned that the hard way.
Well, I remember Governor Lamont more recently in 2020 at the end of the year where COVID vaccines were coming in. This is right before the new year. He had been on vacation with his family in Puerto Rico, but a shipment got messed up and went bad. And he flew back to address the problem because everybody was looking for the COVID vaccine. And here came the governor. And he got a lot of positive remarks about that. So he learned from
the Tom Meskel songbook. That's right. Exactly.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It is the Broadcaster at 100, episode number 4. I'm with former morning news anchor Bryant Thomas, looking back on a number of major Connecticut and even some national stories we'll get into from his era on WTIC, which spanned 1977 to 1996. We will continue, but of course, as I promised, throughout the show, we'll hear some of those great old jingles. This show is debuting on Memorial Day weekend 2024. Yes, it's the unofficial start of summer, but it is technically still springtime. This jingle recorded in February 1980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
The tulips are in bloom, aromas in the air of springtime in New England. There's pictures our New England. Springtime, something special with WTIC.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, it's Joe D'Ambrosio, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're celebrating the Broadcaster at 100.
WTIC.
Throwback to January 1981 as we continue our Broadcaster at 100 special, the fourth edition, with former morning news anchor Bryant Thomas. I'm the current morning news anchor at the time of this recording, so I am particularly enjoying the chat with someone who was in my shoes a number of decades ago. Bryant, you were there when Connecticut voted for Ronald Reagan, the last Republican president that Connecticut voted in. What was the sentiment at that time?
Reagan was good at charming people. Congressman Bruce Morrison said it best after the third year of the Reagan presidency. He told me once on my weekend talk show here, Face Connecticut, Ronald Reagan has an innate ability to get people to embrace what he is saying, even when what he is saying makes no sense. And Reagan was very good at that on the campaign trail, too. Keep in mind, we just finished the Iranian hostage crisis. Or we're in the middle of it at that point. We had 21% interest rates under the Carter administration. So we're looking at a tremendously unpopular incumbent president. We had Nixon before Carter. We had Johnson before Nixon, who got us into the Vietnam War. So along comes Ronald Reagan, and the aw shucks president is someone we could all love. And that's how he did it. He appeared as someone who was different, who did not like big government, and a lot of people were chiming in on that. And he appealed to all of those people, and that's why he clicked with everybody.
You mentioned the Iranian hostage crisis,
mm-hmm.
which obviously you were here part-time, and then you became full-time while that crisis was still going on. It lasted about a year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about covering that? And localizing it. How did it localize in Connecticut? Did it at all?
Oh, you bet. There was a sign on Interstate 84 leaving Waterbury, and it says, "Lest we forget." It was put up by a local businessman, and he counted the number of days the hostages were being held, and every day he changed the number. I interviewed him when I worked here, and it was a tremendously moving interview because he didn't blame it so much on Carter. He just blamed it on the ineptitude of government to fix this problem. And I think that was probably the most compelling part of that whole hostage situation was this hostage sign that everybody looked at as they drove from Waterbury to Hartford.
It wasn't just a hostage crisis, though. Tensions were really flaring in that era in the Middle East.
After the Beirut billet bombing that killed those 261 Marines when President Reagan was in office, there were two people. There was a couple from Naugatuck and another couple from maybe East Hartford or Manchester. I'm not sure where. I interviewed both of them for a piece called Parents of Beirut, and they indicated that there was a lot of frustration with how could this happen? How could they blow up this building in Beirut? Where was the security? Where was this and that and the other thing?
Did TIC in those days run a lot of hard news programming and in-depth interviews and specials like that?
If you took initiative like I did with that sign because I went by it every day, Walt Dibble was more than willing to pay you the overtime to do it. And I think as long as you could demonstrate that there was a connection between listeners and what you wanted to do, you were free to do it. If it was a puff piece, no, nobody wanted any more of that. But I think what happened with the hostage sign and with the Beirut billet bombing parents, everybody connected with that. That was easy to connect to.
And then there was the 1984 election you had then after that. George H.W. Bush, and read my lips, no new taxes, but mm-hmm. there were taxes. How did that transpire in Connecticut, especially, and I want to talk separately about Lowell Weicker, but that period of 4 years or so from 88 to 1992, taxes were a huge issue nationally as well as locally. What do you remember about the president and, read my lips, no new taxes?
He realized, George Bush 41 realized that the country's debt problems were not getting any better. In fact, they were accelerating at a crazy pace. So he had to make some sort of effort to bring balance to the books. He tried to camouflage it with calling them fees and things like that. But, you know, if you pay more to the government, it's a tax hike. And no matter how you slice that, people were going to get mad at it. And that's essentially what happened. Bush 41 was an interesting story about Peter Kelly, the Democratic National Finance Chair, who was also a Hartford attorney. Tremendous love of WTIC. He used to come on the weekend talk show all the time. And one of the things that he told me was he was down in his Washington office with a fellow by the name of Black, who was one of his law partners there. He was also Bush 41's campaign manager. And talk about strange bedfellows. But anyway, Peter stuck his head in Cliff Black, I think was his name, his office, and he said, in June of 92, where's your man? Why isn't he campaigning? Well, the president's going to start his campaigning after the 4th of July. And then it became after Labor Day. And by then, of course, it was hopelessly too late. So he stuck his head in again in late August, and he says, where's your man? And Black just goes, I don't know. and the rest was history. You know, you knew. And of course, Ross Perot.
He must have known that he wasn't going to make it.
And well, and Ross Perot very obviously cemented that deal. You know, when you run two against one, it's kind of hard. And that's how Bill Clinton got into office. Perot had the nail on the head. He looked at Bush 41 in a supermarket. And he's looking at 10-year-old scanners, checking out people in the supermarket. And Bush 41 says, this is the wave of the future. The wave of the future? They've been around for a decade. Where have you been? And that's what set Perot off more than anything. He said, I couldn't believe he was this out of touch with reality.
Around that time here locally, we had the political fall and the political re-rise of Lowell Weicker. A U.S. senator for 18 years, lost to Joe Lieberman, which was an upset, and then he staged an unlikely political comeback as governor of Connecticut. Speaking just about his time as senator, what do you remember him as a senator, and how do you remember the end of his term in the U.S. Senate?
Everybody remembers Lowell Weicker in the Watergate hearings when he said, I have to have my partisan moment. Those are his words. And he says, Republicans do not cheat. Republicans inherently do not stuff bags of money into, a lot of money into a bag and pay people off with it. And he had a litany of things that he felt were unfair accusations of Republicans in the run-up to the Watergate crisis. And I think that set him aside as someone who could honestly look at a situation as a Republican and say, I don't like what's going on here. So therefore, if you call me a maverick, I'm okay with that. And that was Lowell Weicker's whole moniker through his political career. He was a maverick.
He didn't care if he got criticism. He did what he thought was right. That's at least how history seems to remember him.
Well, and if you look at the passage of the state income tax, he had first said that it would be like putting gasoline on a fire. Well, when they passed umpteen budgets, including a 10% sales tax, that was one of the proposals to avoid this income tax, it got more stupid as time goes on. And every time they'd come up with one of these cockamamie plans for a budget, Weicker would veto it and said, we have to think about where we're going with this state, how we're going to bail it out. They came up with a 6% income tax. They rolled the sales tax back to 4.5%, and they got rid of the capital gains and dividends tax altogether. That was 29.5%, that capital gains and dividends tax. That was a tremendous gift to Fairfield County. And yet, when the income tax was put in place, even though they got that tremendous gift, Fairfield County was looking for more. They didn't want the income tax at all, and they wanted to get rid of the capital gains tax altogether. They wanted both. And the answer was, you're not going to get both. So the Revenue Services Commissioner for Weicker comes on Face Connecticut one weekend, and he talks about the holdouts to the income tax and what kind of reactions he was getting from people in Fairfield County. And he said, the best one I got was probably six or eight people all in the same geographical area sending in blank returns for the state income tax with their names and addresses on them, but with no financial information, and in great big magic marker across the top, screw you. He said, I got five or six of these. And within a month, I had them in court. Needless to say, I couldn't ignore that. And he said, they not only paid the income tax, they paid the fine, and they paid the penalty and the interest. So what does that accomplish? Some sort of Pyrrhic victory? That's the kind of person that Lowell Weicker was, and that's the kind of person he brought to state government. Even though this Revenue Services Commissioner was right from Fairfield County and was a diehard Republican, he still did his job.
Was it unusual for him to lose and then be reelected to another position the way that he did and the way that he was?
Yeah, I think he broke new ground there.
He ran as an independent as governor. Does that surprise you? He was Connecticut's only independent governor.
It doesn't surprise me because the Republicans weren't going to give him the nomination. And I think that was a foregone conclusion that if he wanted to run for governor, he'd have to do it as his own party. And that was what a Connecticut party was all about.
And probably never to be seen again. At least highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely, yeah.
This is our fourth installment of the Broadcaster at 100. Sitting down and chatting a bit with former morning news anchor Bryant Thomas. We have some clips of his work on the way. But first, let's say hi to our friends in southeastern Connecticut.
Mystic, you're really someplace special.
I'm telling you, those were done for municipalities all over Connecticut, even for one in Massachusetts.
Springfield is really someplace special.
Celebrating the road to 100 years of WTIC, there's more on the way.
WTIC.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is Dan Malloy, your former governor of the state of Connecticut, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Happy birthday, WTIC.
It's Arnold Dean!
Phones on the Arnold Dean Sports Talk Show are filled at the moment. Call 522-0200 later to talk with Arnold Dean on WTIC 1080.
WTIC 1080, Hartford.
As we continue the Broadcaster at 100 for this month, it's the fourth installment, and our guest and our focus has been on Bryant Thomas and some of the great imaging of that era, in my opinion. Imaging, of course, referring to all those jingles and voiceovers and that kind of stuff. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and it makes sense to play some examples of Bryant's fine reporting work. In 1985, he did a 30-piece series that lasted a whole month on aging and health. In listening to them, I was surprised how relatable they are about 45 years later.
Stereotypes about the elderly abound. They are senile, sexless, sedentary, and spent down. Who are old people anyway? Dr. Richard Besdeen, director of the Traveler Center on Aging.
Talk to old people and you get these wonderful things like, I don't want to go to the senior center, from an 87-year-old woman I have cared for. There's all those old people there.
There is so much vitality and untapped potential among the old, but society still views them as unproductive and decrepit. And today's elderly are the most affluent and well-educated of any before them. Dr. Walter Kekich of the Institute of Living here in Hartford says...
And so they're able to have what no generation previously has had before, and that is a retirement with a great deal of leisure time. And what we're beginning to see is that a number of people, after they've enjoyed the first 5 or 6 years of doing nothing, really come back and want to do something.
Dr. Besdeen dispels another myth. that functional loss with age is smaller than we ever imagined.
And teaching that truth, you know, in science in the eighth grade or seventh grade, general science courses, that's what we need to be doing so that people grow up not with a rosy, over-optimistic view of aging, but a realism about aging, both the bad and the good. And it's not so bad.
Tomorrow, healthcare rationing. Is this hot topic a good idea? With WTIC's Health Update, I'm Brian Thomas, WTIC 1080 News.
He won a number of awards for that series. Brian also had a very front and center seat to the big story that was Bob Steele's retirement from full-time hosting, September 30th, 1991.
Senator Joe Lieberman reading on the floor for the Congressional Record the retirement of Bob Steele last week. He read it on the 27th of September, 1991. Mr. President, next Monday, September 30th, 1991, after 55 years of broadcasting, Bob Steele will sign off for the final time here on WTIC Radio. But that's in about 52 minutes. Right now, Robert L. Steele.
Thank you, Bryant. And Senator Lieberman, if he runs again, I know I'm going to vote for now.
And, of course, Bob would be a guest on Bryant's Face Connecticut Public Affairs program.
So, if you were at a WTIC, which was then one of the few 50,000-watt stations around, you had a pretty good job.
Yes, I did have a good job. I was very happy. I had never had anything in my life. I mean, I was poverty-stricken most of my life, and my mother and I were battling just to survive, you know, from the time I was 5 years old, when my mother and father were divorced. I'm an only child, and so I was tickled to death to get a job at $35 a week in 1936, 1st of October. That's what I got, and that's what I was paid for 2 years, $35 a week.
In the Depression, that wasn't bad money, though, was it?
Not bad. It was the best pay in Hartford at the time for radio. I mean, I know the other stations were paying 25 and 30, and TIC was the tops, $35 a week for an announcer. And I was just grateful, you know, because of my beginnings. Everything is relative, you know.
That's right, actually. Yeah. Everybody who came out of the Depression, who went through the Depression, had a certain love for the person or corporation that gave him or her a job.
You bet your life. We were loyal.
Well, let me shake your hand as we speak across the microphones.
We're actually doing this, friends.
Absolutely love that. Let's get Brian's final thoughts.
There was a lot of people that I worked with who were consummate professionals, and I think that that's the type of person that TIC represented under the Chase ownership. When the Chases ran WTIC, they made sure that, A, it had enough money to operate and prosper. They didn't try to milk it for everything that they could. We had, you know, Angela Dias worked there when she and I worked together, and I always had great respect for Angela. Judy DiCipio was there at that time. She went to work for United Technologies after that. There were a host of people in the sales department. All I can say is this. I remember the nice times that I had at WTIC, especially with Bob Steele and Bob Downs, his immortal engineer. And I will say that to those listeners who befriended me after I left, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You will never know how much it meant to me at a time when I really needed it.
Thank you, Bryant, for joining us for the Broadcaster at 100, our fourth edition focused on Bryant's memories doing morning news on WTIC and how some of the stories impacted not only his career, but Connecticut as a whole. We'll continue the series next month as we march toward 100 years of WTIC. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Find me on social media at MC News Talk. And again, thank you for listening and celebrating our heritage with us. Much appreciated.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.